Amen. Let's get our Bibles out. We're going to go to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4, verse 13. And we're going to look at a parable of the kingdom. Mark, chapter 4, verse 13. Mark, chapter 4, verse 13. And he said unto them, praise the Lord. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? Praise God. And when you think about it, the parables are so very important, so very powerful, because when Jesus had the opportunity to speak to multitudes, probably upwards of 10 or 20,000 people at one time, when he had the opportunity, there were 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. He gave them simple, simple truths. While he was in a boat on the just a little ways out from the shore, multitudes were waiting for his words. And he just simply said, a sower went forth to sow. Very simple. He was not jumping up and down. He was not running around in the boat. Amen. But he was giving truth. And I'm telling you tonight, we can't get intoxicated on jumping up and down, running around. And I believe in running the aisles. I believe in jumping up and down. I believe in talking in tongues. But I'll tell you what I also believe in, the Word of God. The Word of God will stand forever. And if we can't get excited about truth, then we're not going to get excited about anything. Amen. But I'm thankful today for the truth of the Word of God. I want to talk about a parable of the kingdom tonight. A parable of the kingdom. Lord, we thank you for the presence of God that we have felt. Thank you, Lord, for this service tonight and the Word of God. I pray your hand upon us in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 You can be seated tonight. And when we look at parables, you say, well, why did the Lord speak in parables? And the answer is in Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at Mark chapter 4 a little bit here tonight. Verse 11 and verse 12. It says, and he said unto them, unto you, and this was in response to a question that they had. They said, why do you speak in parables? And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing you may see, and not perceive. So there's difference in seeing and perceiving. And hearing, they may hear and not understand. And so there's a difference in hearing and understanding. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And so when he talked about the parables here, he said, these parables are for your understanding. So that you can understand the powerful principles of the kingdom of God. And I want to know everything that I can know, but more than that, I want to experience him and experience the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so the parables here, when you look at this, there is a separation between those that are without and those that are within. And we're within here tonight. If you've been baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost, you're on the inside. Feels good to be on the inside tonight. It's so good to know that God knows your name and he's given us this great salvation. And so we have here a veil, or we have a door that separates one room from another room. On one side of the door is confusion and a wandering spirit, and on the other side of that door is blessings. blessings in the will of God. That's what we want tonight, is the blessings of God and the will of God. And so the parables tonight are so simple and obvious to the hungry heart, but to those that are not of a hungry heart, they will not be able to perceive and to understand. Mark chapter 4 and verse 13. Brother Reed, would you help me tonight? And just go to the book of Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to have you read some of this. And it's the scripture that we read tonight, our text scripture. Go ahead and read verse 13.
And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables?
All right. So he gives us here a template, if you please, a measuring stick, a way to understand what he's trying to say in these parables. He said, know ye not this parable? And what parable was he talking about? He was talking about the parable of the sower that went forth to sow. Some fell on hard ground, some fell on stony ground, some fell on thorny ground, some fell on good ground. Amen. And so he said, if you don't know this parable, then how can you know, or how will you know, all parables? And so the parable that we look at tonight is very simple, and it's very profound at the same time. It's a very valuable thing that the Lord is wanting to give us here in our understanding. And so in its context, in the context of the parable that we're going to look at here tonight, we can see that it is a continuation of the parable of the sower that went forth to sow the word of God. And he said this, he said the seed is the word of God, and this was his giving the disciples an understanding of how to understand parables, that the sower, the seed is the word of God, and the sower is anyone that preaches the word of God, teaches a Bible study, shares the word of God on the job, wherever and however the word is sown. And so the seed is the word of God, and the sower is anyone that shares the word of God, and the different soils are different people. Amen. And so to understand these parables, we've got to understand that they have a significant spiritual application to our life. Amen. It's not just a nice little story, but it is a very profound truth. And that's what we need, is truth tonight. And it says, the birds that snatch the word in the first soil, the wayside soil, the birds that snatch up the word is the devil. Amen. And so it talks about the devil, and it talks about the word of God and the sower. He never said that winning souls or sowing the word of God and winning someone to Jesus Christ was going to be easy. But what we have to remember is that we don't win anybody to God. I can't save one individual, but what I can do is sow the word of God. I can find somebody that's got just a little bit of a hunger in them, and I can get my foot in the door and start teaching the word of God. Amen. And some of you have been in that place, and I've won you to the Lord that way. Amen. Some of you ran from God and stopped the Bible study. Some of you said, I don't believe that, and then years went by, and it was the seed of the word of God that sprouted in you. Amen. It takes a little bit of time for any seed to sprout and come up, unless of course it's a weed. And the weeds come up very quickly, and they look good, but that's all they are weeds. Amen. And so this parable then becomes the benchmark for understanding all other parables. And so let's look at the parable that follows the discourse on the sower and the seed. Mark chapter 4 and verse 21 through 25. Would you read for me tonight? All right, so if you're not hungry for God, that would look like a confusing jumble of words. Amen. And to him that has not, from him that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And so it sometimes gets a little confusing, the wording there. But I want to look at this parable here in Mark chapter 4. And we can understand tonight that he immediately launches into this parable about the kingdom of God. And the sower sows the word. It's likened unto a candle and where it's supposed to be located. And we understand that a candle is not to be put under your bed or your house will burn down. Amen. It's not meant to be put under a bushel to hide the light, but we put a candle on the candle holder and we put it in a prominent place. Brother Reed talked about light, just a little bit of light pushes back the darkness. And certainly tonight we're living in a dark, dark world. Can you say amen to that? We're living in a dark, dark society. And there are demon spirits that are running rampant in this world today. And the Antichrist, I'm sure, is probably already here and getting ready to do his dirty work. We're living in the last days today. And so the sower is likened here to a candle and where it's supposed to be located. The candle here is anyone that's in the kingdom of God, anyone who is in the church. Because in Scripture, the candlestick represents a church. Amen. And the seven churches in Revelation were typified by the seven golden candlesticks. And the light that was burning from them was fueled by the oil, the anointing oil, or rather the olive oil, which represents the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And so when we come to church, when we come to the house of God, we're here tonight to build up our faith by the Word of God, but we're here to get a hold of some more oil. Amen. So that when we go out, our light doesn't go out. It stays burning all the time. And Scripture says in that Old Testament church that the golden candlesticks were to burn day and night. They were to never go out. And so he talks about this candle, and in order to understand the parable, you have to understand what the candle represents. It represents the church. Amen. You have seven different churches in Revelation. Each one, I believe, and I could be wrong about this, but I believe that it represents a different personality of the church and a different set of circumstances in those churches that all other churches are going to face. One church will face a particular situation and maybe have a certain personality to it, and another one would be quite different and all of that. In fact, I can show you this here in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20. And keep your finger there in Mark chapter 4. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20, and the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels, or the messenger, or if you please, the pastor, the fivefold ministry. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And so tonight we are doing what is ordained by God and given to us in a parable-type form. Amen. We're not just another church on another street corner. Amen. But what we have tonight is a treasure in earthen vessels. Praise God. What we have tonight is the eternal Word of God. And what we have tonight is a place where we can hear the Word of God. And maybe you come sometimes and don't feel like you've received something. Just hang in there, because there's nowhere else to go but outside the tabernacle. Amen. There's only one place to stay. There's only one church. And that's the blood-bought, apostolic, amen, one God church. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't really have an option, and I don't want an option. Amen. There are good days, and there are bad days, and there are days in between. Just like it is in your family. Amen. There are things that dad has to deal with and take care of, and days when mom has to deal with things, and every day the kids have to deal with mom and dad. Amen. Well, I got a little bit of a smile there tonight. Amen. And so we are so thankful tonight to be a part of the Church of the Living God. Amen. And the exciting part about it is that Jesus is walking in the midst of the golden candlesticks. Amen. Where two or three are gathered together, he said, I'm going to be there in the midst of you. And you say, well, I don't feel like running the aisles tonight. Just go ahead and run the aisles. Amen. Based upon the knowledge of what you have and who is here. Praise God. Now, there's one thing that really bothers me, and that's when we come to church and we don't feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. That bothers your pastor really quite a bit. Amen. Because what we are doing is we are taking His presence for granted. Amen. And we can't afford to do that, folks. Amen. We've got to come to the house of God as David did. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to church. Praise God. And you might be tired, and you might have a headache, and you might be not up to your standard. But I'm telling you what, we're going to be in His presence for all of eternity. We're just having practice here tonight to worship God. And I've got a feeling that if we can't worship God down here, we're not going to worship God up there. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. And so we are the candlestick in the kingdom of God, and not just a church on another church on a corner, but Jesus is walking in the midst of us here tonight. I've already felt His presence. And I'll tell you, there are times that we just have to walk by faith, and we have to worship by faith. Amen. And we have to pray by faith. Amen. And we have to serve by faith. And we don't see results sometimes, and we don't feel anything at times. But I'm telling you tonight, we have a tremendous opportunity to be a light. You have the opportunity tonight to be a light to one another, but even more than that, we have the opportunity to be a light to those that are on the outside of the church. Well, praise God. Men never put a candle under a bushel, but they put it into a place where everybody can see it. And that's not just a cute saying. That's a truth to you and to me. Amen. It is a truth. And we are the light of the world, Jesus said. And a true child of God is going to be a light wherever they go. There's going to be something that comes up about the Lord. There's going to be an opportunity that we have to say something about the Lord. And I had some folks out at the house doing some work. And, of course, I like to meet everybody that's there. And this man told me his name, and I told him my name. And he asked me if I knew one of the folks here at the church. I said, yeah, I know that person. They come to our church. And he said, well, what kind of church is it? You just don't you don't do that to me. And for me to kick my toe in the dirt and drop my head and say, well, I go to New Life Tabernacle. No, I'm not going to do that. Amen. But we got into a conversation, and hopefully if he follows through, he'll be here next Sunday in church. Praise God. And I want to be a light. I've been given so much that I don't deserve. Amen. I need to be a light. I need to be a sower. Amen. If all we do is think about ourselves, our four and no more, we're going to end up, and I'm going to prove it to you here tonight, that we have a an opportunity, amen, to let our light shine, to hold the light up high, amen, so that everybody around us can see us, amen. He didn't have that golden candlestick, which was made out of pure beaten gold, one big piece of gold, and had it burning 24 hours a day just so that it would be a nice, cute addition to the holy place. No, it was a representation of the church. Amen. And if we put it under a bushel, if we do that, then I would like to say tonight that we have found ourselves out of the will of God. And things will begin to happen in your life when you cease to be a light. Amen. Because if you're not, if you just let the candlestick burn out and there's no oil in there, then we have no power to be a light. And the light becomes dim and we miss the will of God. But the will of God is that the candles burn brightly day and night. Somebody said amen. And Jesus said, we're the light of the world. And so you and me, we are destined and we are called tonight to be a candle. Amen. We are called tonight to be a candle. And so if the word or the light is hidden, then according to this parable, that light will be taken away from us, even that which he has will be taken away from us. We don't have the opportunity, if you want to use that word, we don't have the opportunity tonight to let our candle go out. Amen. Like the five foolish virgins that didn't take care of the oil in their lamps. Amen. They let the light go out. Somebody said amen. Let's just read this one here. Mark chapter 4, verse 21. He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set in a candlestick? The answer to this is very obvious. We were not made to be hidden, but we were made to be out in the open. Praise God. And then he says, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. I want to just ask you tonight, do you have ears to hear? Or is it just another church service, just another message? Amen. Folks, this thing is so important, we can't afford to do that. You can't afford to do that. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear, and with what measure you met, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. And I've used this example many times, But when we let the light shine, we're sharing the truth with other people. And herein is a tremendous truth in the Word of God. And that is that we are sowers. We have a bag of seed. We have a treasure in this earthen vessel. And it's the will of God that we take the seed out of our bag and we spread it around. It's not for us to say, well, I'm not going to talk to that person because, and then fill in the blank, but we just sow the word to everybody. Praise God. And you say, well, if I do that, I'm going to get burned out or I'm going to run out. And what am I going to do then? But Jesus said, with what measure you met, it shall be measured to you. In other words, the amount that you give out is going to be the amount that comes back to you. As my old pastor said, there's a window, and what you give and the size of the window, what you give is what God's going to give back through. And so if you give a little bit of your life, then God's going to give a little bit back. And if you stop giving, then He will stop giving. Amen. But if we give, if we just freely give, freely we have received, freely we give, if we give, our bag will always stay full and there will be enough to grind up and make cornbread. Amen. And have extra and over an abundance of spiritual things, not just spiritual things, but the physical things that we need in this life. Amen. We can walk with God and see miracles take place. Say, well, I don't believe in miracles. Well, it's probably because you're not sowing the Word of God. And that's directly what this parable is saying tonight. And thank God for a light in our lives. I was in the darkness. Amen. And the light of truth came to me because a sower was out sowing the Word of God. And I said, listen, man, I don't need God. Just leave me alone. And God got a hold of my heart. After I came to the service, I didn't feel anything. I didn't ever want to come back. And I rejected it. Brother Deontay, don't get discouraged. Amen. You are a success. You say a success. How can you be a success when you sow the word and there's nobody that responds? I'm telling you, it is the seed, it is the miracle seed that God created that will do the work. And if it doesn't do the work, it's not your fault. It's the fault of the ground. It's not the fault of the seed. It's not the fault of the sower, but it is the fault of the ground. Amen. I haven't been called to be a savior, but I have been called to be a sower. Praise God. And you have been called to be a sower as well. Because if we don't give out that which we have, amen, then it will be taken from us and given to somebody else, amen, something that they didn't work for is just going to be given to them because somebody didn't take seriously this matter of being a light to our world. Praise God. And if you're just a little light, then that's all you're going to be able to perceive. But if you are a big light and you let others know about the Lord and you talk to people about the Lord, I'm telling you, the happiest people that I know, the happiest Christians that I know are people that get out of themselves and go and help somebody else. And not only are they the happiest, but they're the ones that will come up and say, Pastor, I was reading the Word, and God showed me something in the Word of God. Amen. I've received something that I didn't have before. Praise God. And it's simply because when you sow, when you give out, God gives it back to you. If you have the intention of drying up and blowing away, so to speak, just stop giving. Amen. Just stop giving of your life to the Lord and see what happens. Don't ever do that. Amen. Maintain your walk with God and the blessing is around the corner. Amen? Amen. The blessing is just around the corner. And he said, with what measure you met, it shall be measured to you again. Amen. And nothing is going to be hidden. We can't take our talent and hide it in a napkin and bury it in the ground. And then when he comes, we can dig it up and say, oh, master, in front of everybody, oh, master, I've got this here to give to you. And no, if we hide it in the ground, then it's a terrible, terrible thing because we are stewards here tonight. Did you know that you are stewards over your money? It's not really your money or my money. It's God's money that he gave to us. And we are to be a steward over our money. But even more than that, we are called to be stewards of the Word of God. Stewards of the Spirit that's within us. And praying through on a regular basis. Amen. Walking close with the Lord. Sharing the Word of God with somebody else. I'm telling you, that's the way to have a joyful walk with God. Amen. But when we stop sowing the word, when we stop sowing the word, then instead of our bag getting filled up, it starts to go empty. Amen. Because every worker has to eat something. You can't go through a day hardly without eating something. And it won't be very long until you get hungry and you reach in there and you throw some in your mouth and you eat it and the bag goes down a little bit. And before you know it, you reach down in there and there's nothing in there and you'll hear yourself say, I'm just not getting anything out of church services anymore. I'm just really tired of the whole thing. I'm telling you what, folks, we can never get tired of the whole thing. We do sometimes. Amen. We go through our ups and our downs, but when it's all said and done, we get back in the race and we keep on running and doing the will of God. Amen. Somebody help me tonight. Praise God. We've got to stay in this race and we've got to do the will of God. Amen. I don't ever want to get to the place where it's just another sermon or just another church service, or just another prayer meeting. No, no. I want to take it serious, amen, because I'm going to either lose everything that I have, or I'm going to get more than what I started with. Amen. Nothing is going to be hidden. And we've got to ask ourselves the question tonight, do I have ears to hear? Amen. If so, if you hear. Now, hearing is more than just sitting there listening to vibrations in your ear. Amen. That's not what it's talking about. You can understand the Word of God, and hopefully I can say this so we'll all get it here tonight. You can understand the Word of God. You can say, I understand what you're saying to me. I understand the Word of God, but I'm not going to follow through with the Word of God. Amen. I taught a Bible study in the Boston area, and it was with two different couples. They were both relatives, and they both came to the Bible study. They were kind enough to let me go through the whole Bible study. At that time, I was teaching a different Bible study, and we got to the very end, and there were people that were falling into the lake of fire. And I talked about that, and you could feel the conviction. You could feel the tension as this story was getting a hold of them. And I finished, and I looked at both of those couples, and I said, well, what are you going to do about it? And one of them spoke up and said, my problem is I can't get up in the morning to go to church. I'm too lazy. And another one said, no, I just don't think I can live for God. I've just decided that I'm going to go to hell. Well, I'm telling you, they did not hear. They understood, but they did not hear. Amen. It wasn't very long ago in our town that I met somebody at Walmart, and we were talking, and they said, I said something, they used to come here, and I said something about coming to church, and they said, well, we don't really have an excuse why we're not there. The truth of it is, and I'm just being honest with you, they said, I'm just too lazy to come to church. Well, I'll tell you what, they understood the doctrine and they understand what the Bible says, but they have not heard. Amen. Because when we hear, we act upon what we hear. Amen. It becomes a part of our life. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because nothing is going to be hidden, and we have to be those that can hear the Word of God. It must have the ability to change us. Amen. And if we are hearers of the Word, if we are hearers of the Word, I hear the Word. Amen. And so when I was just a brand new baby in the kingdom, my pastor talked about giving, and there was a missionary that needed extra money. And he asked for donations, and folks were raising their hand and saying this, that, and the other. And I raised my hand, and I said, I'll give $50. Well, I'll tell you, I didn't have $50 in my pocket, and you all know the story. I went to work, and my supervisor came up to me and wanted to know if I would like to make a little extra money on the side. And I said, yes, of course. And instead of him giving me an opportunity to make an extra $50, I made an extra $100, and I gave the $50 to missions, and God gave me $50 back. And so I had heard the Word, I acted upon the Word, and God gave me more than what I would have ever had. Does that make sense? Amen. And so we cannot be stingy with the Word of God. We cannot be stingy with anything that we have that is God's, which is everything. Amen. Or we will lose the ability to hear. We will be deaf. Amen. And Paul talked about, I think it's in Hebrews, he said, you are dull of hearing. You are dull of hearing. And so we can get a dull hearing. Amen. In my latter years here, I've got a ringing in my ears. And sometimes I can hear the right thing, and sometimes I don't hear the right thing.
Amen.
All right. Praise God. I forget things, and I feel bad about it. And I think, my, I'm just a one of a kind here. And my brother texted me the other day. We were talking about memory, and he said, lately, he said, I just can't remember anything. And I'm like, yes, I'm not alone in this situation. But the last thing that I want to do is have dull spiritual hearing. Amen. Where I can say, yeah, I understand what you said, but I'm just not going to do it. You've got a dull hearing. You've got a ringing in your ears, and that ringing is keeping you from hearing the Word of God. That's why it's so important that we have preaching.
Amen.
Amen. I received a phone call yesterday, I think it was yesterday, and I'd had this man on my mind, Brother Wilson. I'd had him on my mind for quite a while. And it was Brother Wilson that called me, just wanted to see how things were going. And I said, are you coming up our way? And we talked about it. And hopefully in the fall, Brother Wilson will be able to come be with us for a few weeks of revival. Amen. And we can hear some preaching. Amen. We can't just make it on teaching. We've got to have some preaching. Thank God. We've got to have teaching, but we've got to have preaching too. And your pastor understands that, and we want as many as we can to come through. I really enjoyed Brother Carricker here just a while back. We had a good Sunday night service, didn't we? We had some good preaching in the Word of God. And so we decided we're going to trade out, so I'll be gone some Sunday night over to Hutchinson to pay back the favor of them coming over here. Amen. And they get preaching all the time, and so they're going to get some teaching when I go over there. Praise God, if God allows it. Amen. And so when we share the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God, it is revelation.
Amen.
It's not understanding, it's revelation. You can hear something and understand it, but it's totally different than it being revealed to you. Some of us probably have had the experience in grade school when they got to the subject of division or multiplication or something like that, and you get the principles in your mind and you know you're supposed to go through this process, but you don't have a revelation of what you're doing. Amen. Has anybody had that happen to you? I have. Maybe I'm just one of a kind here. But I remember, I think it was division, I remember when all of a sudden I got the concept and it was revealed to me. It was a light of truth that was revealed to me, and I've never lost it since. And as apostolics, as children of God tonight, we cannot survive on understanding, but we must be people of revelation.
Amen.
We must be people of light because we're giving light out. Amen. We're not just giving words out, but we are giving out the possibility of revelation. Amen. It's one thing to teach a Bible study, but it's another thing when there is a revelation. I remember teaching, I won this young couple to the Lord in Massachusetts, and her mom and daddy saw the difference, and they said, "We want a Bible study too." And so we were teaching a Bible study to this older couple, and I don't know where they're at today, but we were talking about baptism in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine that? And you can look at it in the Word of God and say, "I understand that, but is it a revelation?" And I remember we were teaching, I was teaching this Bible study, and all of a sudden, you could feel it. There was revelation that came into the room. And his eyes got big, and he just stared at me through the rest of the Bible study. And I said, one of two things is going to happen. And I knew in my mind that one of two things was going to happen. He was going to say, "Take me to the water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Or he was going to not say anything or disagree with it or whatever. And he never did disagree with it, but that revelation brought a whole lot of other things with it. Amen. And it was a revelation of commitment, because when you come and get baptized, there's a commitment that goes along with that. It's commitment. It might mean that grandpa or grandma wasn't saved. Amen. A lot of things can come out of truth. That revelation will open a door of other revelations. Amen. And after that Bible study, I was notified that they weren't interested in another Bible study, and that was the end of the matter. And I felt very bad about that, but I was a success because I was able to give revelation to somebody else. It's up to them what they do with the Word of God. I used to worry about that when folks would leave or folks wouldn't come, and it would bother me and worry me, but I got a lot of relief in the revelation that I can't save anybody, and neither can you. Praise the Lord. And if we have ears to hear, then we will follow through. Somebody said follow through. When you actually get involved, when you actually become a laborer with God and you're meeting someone for whatever reason, and you can in your mind say, "Lord, open a door that I may talk to this person. I want to impart what I have received. Amen. I want to give it to somebody else. Well, somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. I know this will probably cross some folks, but I'm telling you, we cannot just be people of understanding. We have to be people of revelation.
Amen.
He said, take heed what you hear. With what measure you met, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. And so we have to take heed with what we hear. That's why we've got to be careful what we look at on our phone and what we hear in the news. Amen. The propaganda that's being spread around all the time that causes you to get depressed and upset and feeling like there's no hope and we're all going down. Hey, listen, we're a part of the church. We're not connected with the government. We're not connected with this world. Amen. We've got a charge by God to obey the leaders in this world. But when it crosses the word of God, we've got to stand for God.
Amen.
We've got to stand for truth. Amen. And so it's important what you hear and with what measure you met. Amen. It shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, that's there it is again, and get involved, more shall be given. And so we've got to be careful with what we hear, because what we hear will modify what we do, and what we do will come around full circle.
Amen.
And it'll come back to us. Amen. A prayerless life will come around, and before you know it, you're going to be back out in the world because you've got no power, because you've got nothing to sustain your revelation. And before long, it's not even a revelation anymore. I've seen folks that have backslidden, and it's almost like the Word of God becomes foreign to them, and they don't meditate on it, and they don't consider it. They just off on their own way. But that's not the will of God for us.
Amen.
Amen. And so from the very beginning of our church, from the very beginning, it's been a theme of ours to reach out and touch somebody. Amen. I'm not waiting for a call to go to Africa. I've already gotten an invitation to go to Africa. And I turned the invitation down. I don't want to go to Africa. Somebody else is doing the work over there. Now, if I had my health, I might do it, but I'm even not really sure about that. Amen. I got an invitation to go to Zimbabwe, and if things were different, I would get an opportunity to go to Kenya. And when the white, was it the Wakefields, our new missionary that we're helping, they said, we want you to come and preach our yearly conference. And I thought, I don't want to go to Mexico. Amen. Because when you get outside the borders of this country, there is something that you can feel. Amen. I landed in Amman, Jordan, and spent the night in a hotel there on our way to Israel. And I woke up in the morning to this guy moaning and wailing over a loudspeaker, calling all of those folks to prayer, and something came over me and said, I'm not home. I'm a long way from home. And it wasn't a good feeling. Amen. I love Augusta, Kansas. I love Wichita, Kansas. I love Andover, Kansas. Rose Hill, Kansas. This is my home. Praise God. I'm very thankful for what I have. I'm not looking to go somewhere else. Amen. One preacher told me, he said, oh, I don't teach Bible studies because you're spending all your time on just one. Well, I'm telling you, Jesus took the time with one lady at a well. He could have been preaching to 15 or 20,000 people, but he stopped and he spent some time with one individual. Well, praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight.
Amen.
I feel God's presence. Amen. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And that goes along with the parable of the talents. We'll get into that another time. I want to ask a question. Sister Reed, would you come tonight? I want to ask us a question tonight. Do you want more of Jesus?
Amen.
Do you want more of Jesus? Amen. Then give more. Praise God.
Amen.
I'm not asking for money tonight. I'm talking about your life. Give more of your life to God. Amen. If you've backed up, just put it in forward and go forward now. Amen. Because when you give of your life to God, God will give more to you. But if you hide it into a napkin, amen. If you put that truth into a napkin, cover it up so it'll be in good shape and bury it in the ground, the Lord is going to say, give me that. And it's going to be taken away and given to the man with five talents. And the one that had a little bit, even that would be taken away. You're going to end up with an empty bag with nothing. Amen. Folks, this is very important tonight. These parables are very important.
Amen.
That we understand this. Amen. Because if we're not careful, the corn in our bag will be eaten up with a lot of things.
Amen.
Well, I can't give to God because I've got all these bills. Well, I can't do the work of God because I'm too busy. I can't do this because of that. I can't do this because of that. And I'm telling you tonight, you're going to end up with nothing and be cast out into outer darkness. But I'll tell you what, I want to take my one little talent that I have. And I really do. I feel like I'm a one-talent Christian. But if I can take that one talent, if I can just save one person, if I can just reach somebody with this gospel, I'm telling you what, I will receive the same reward as the one that has ten. Some folks boast about their soul winning and all of that, but I'm telling you what tonight, everybody that's done something for God is going to make it, and it's not going to be taken away from us. Amen. Because what we've got to have is enough corn in our bag for those that are all around us. I'm not looking to go to Africa. There's a door just down the street here somewhere. There's a door down another street somewhere, just waiting for someone to talk to them, for someone to help them, for someone to pray that God will open a door. Amen. All around us in our city and in your city, there are people that are dying and going to an eternity without God. God help us tonight. Amen. Jesus said, don't say, 4 months from now we're going to have revival. Be June, July, August, September. That's about 4 months when Brother Wilson said he'd be able to come. Well, when Brother Wilson gets here, we'll have revival. When we hear of the preaching of revival, we'll have revival then. But no, Jesus said, don't look at it that way. Don't say in 6 months or put a time limit on it and say, I'm going to do a work for God. I'll tell you what, you're just fooling yourself because all around you, he said, lift up your eyes and look upon the field. The field is people. Different soils, types of soils, but the field is people. Praise God. Are you getting this here tonight? You say, Pastor, I understand. I'm not asking you to understand tonight. I'm asking you to hear. There's a big difference. Amen. All around us, it's white. Jesus said it's ready to harvest. Amen. Amen. Somebody might just say something as casual as, I don't feel too good today. That's an open door. Would you like for me to pray for you? There's a miracle waiting to happen for someone just to say, I'd like to pray for you. Could I pray for you right now? You don't have to have some wild gyration and shake them and talk in tongues and all of that. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight that you can pray for them and God can work a miracle on your job, for your neighbor, whatever, wherever. Amen. And we can have more than what we had in the beginning. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. I'm thankful for the Word of God, aren't you?